appreciate the fact that you showed that little video or clips or something. And Zach, you were a cute little boy, eh? Charming young man. What happened? When Brother Tim Harms got up for the scripture reading, and I thought, boy, am I thankful he only has 2 minutes. And then I sat with my holding my breath. What is Pastor going to use as his text? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And so if you remember what Tim said, we can go home. But today we are recognizing Zach, as we ought to, recognizing his accomplishment to this point in his life, a milestone in his life, stepping into the next phase of his life. He has, you know, as they say, this is the first day of the rest of your life, which is true. And I want to publicly congratulate you. I still say that with a little bit of reservation. I have not yet seen the signed document that says you have actually graduated. Hopefully it is around someplace. All right. But also, as I prepared this message this past week, I did have Zach in mind. Because it is his day. And by the way, Zach, before I move on, as I told you Wednesday night, you cannot leave the youth group until August 1st. After that, it's up to you, but until then. But having Zach in mind when I prepared this message, it's a message that I hope is going to be an encouragement, a challenge to each and every one of us that are here this afternoon. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we're so thankful for Brother Zach. We just appreciate him and appreciate his leadership. Pray, Lord, that you would truly guide and direct in his life from this point forward. I ask, Lord, now that as we look into your word, you protect my lips, that I not speak anything amiss. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we look at these two verses, I want us to go to the last half of the last verse, sixth verse. And in that last half of that verse, Solomon gives us a promise. It's actually a promise that Solomon tells us about, but it is a promise that actually comes from the Lord himself. He shall direct thy paths. When we first started our ministry out at Fair Oaks, the Dietzes were still involved in that, and I would prepare a devotional for that afternoon, and I never knew if I was going to be able to speak that, to have that devotional or not. It just depended on how Claire felt. If he was up to it, he would go ahead and speak, and if he wasn't up to it, then I would go ahead and give my prepared devotional. But he would often emphasize the matter of salvation, and he would quote a verse that would have the phrase in it, "And ye shall be saved." And he would stop for a few moments, and he would emphasize that word "shall." He said that word is not a word that it means that it could happen, or it might happen, or hopefully it'll happen. It will happen, he would say. It's a certainty. And that is true in this verse. He shall direct thy path. It's not an uncertainty. It's not a maybe. But he shall. It's a definite. It's a certainty. The Lord's promises are always certain. They are yea, and they are amen. In Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23, the psalmist says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." The steps of a good man, the steps of Zach, are ordered by the Lord, and he, Zach, delighteth in the Lord's way. A promise, he shall direct thy paths. But as you look at that promise, keep in mind that that promise is seen in the context of verses 1 and verse 3. Verse 1 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine hand." As the pastor pointed out in his message this morning, the importance of being in the Word of God, following the Word of God. And here he says, "My son, forget not the Word of God. Forget not my law." The path he sets before us, and the path that you might be facing, Brother Zach, the paths that you will face as you go from this point forward, might not always be paved. They might be rough and rocky, dusty, muddy, dirty. That path that you will go from this point might not be straight, but it'll be a twisting, turning path. But it will be the right path if it's a path that the Lord leads you on. It's a path that the Israelites found as they traveled from Egypt to the promised land. That path was not always an easy path. But it was the path that God chose for them, and it was the right path. And Zach, and each one of us who are here today, the Lord desires, and he shall direct thy path. Oh, there is going to be some Y's in the road. You're going to come down a path, and there's going to be a Y there, and you're going to be there at that point, and you're going to say, "Which path should I take?" The Lord will show you. You might come and there'd be an intersection, road going to the left, a road going to the right, and another one going straight forward. You'll say, "What one should I take?" The Lord shall direct thy path. Point number one, the promise. Point number two, and I only have 2 points. So we might be done before you fall asleep. Second point I just entitled positives. In verse 5 and the first half of verse 6, Solomon points out 3 positive actions that we can take that will enable us to experience the fulfillment of his promise. "And he shall direct thy paths." But here are 3 positives that he gives us. The first one is trust. You didn't have to figure out a outline, it is right here in the Bible. And he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Trust here gives the thought of to lie helpless face down. It gives the picture of a servant willingly awaiting his master's orders. He's prostrate. He's given over to his master, waiting to what he would have him to give. And he says, "Trust in the Lord." That last 2 little words are so important. The object of our trust, the object of our faith, is so important in our life. Trust in the Lord, the one who is all wise, the one who is all holy, the one who is almighty, the omniscient God. Trust in the Lord through a trust in his word. Trust in the Lord through his promises. as Paul prayed for the believers in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." And I believe as a church family, we could say the same. We do not cease to pray for you. And he goes on and he says, Paul tells him what he is praying for. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy, Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Trusting in the Lord simply means learning to rest upon him. As we read in 2 Chronicles in chapter 14 and verse 11, "And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest in thee." Help us, O God, for we rest in thee. It's learning. As we trust in the Lord, it's learning to just cast all our cares upon him. Cast our decisions. Cast our uncertainties upon him. You know, as Peter says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And I'm sure as we go through life, we learn that lesson that God does really care. And we can cast all our cares upon him. We can cast all our decisions upon him. Those uncertain circumstances and so forth. Trusting the Lord can lead to spiritual growth. Spiritual success. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 25, particularly the last half of the verse, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat." Now, he's not speaking physically here. All right. He's speaking spiritually. He will have success. Trusting in the Lord can bring a joy to your life. In Proverbs 16 and verse 20, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." As you think about trusting in the Lord, it all begins as we trust in the Lord for our eternal future. Trusting in the Lord for our salvation. As we read in John in chapter 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he believeth not to the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And if you happen to be in our service this afternoon, if you happen to be observing this service this afternoon, and you have not put your trust, your faith in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me encourage you to do it today. That's where it begins, trusting in the Lord for my salvation, your salvation. And so the first positive that Solomon shares with us that we might experience and enjoy the promise is to trust in the Lord. And he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And I just got curious, and I said, I wonder what that word "all" there means. I looked at up several, observed, or went to several sources. And as I went to these different sources, the dictionary and some Bible dictionaries and so forth, and as I read the different definitions, I came to the conclusion that all means all. But I noticed some synonyms: entire, exclusive, focused. And I think the one that really fits well here is undivided. Trust in the Lord with an undivided heart. Singleness of heart. Exclusive heart. The heart in the Old Testament can refer to our emotions. Most often it refers to one's intellect or discernment. You know, the heart is where true wisdom lies. That one can make the decision needed, find the path the Lord would have for us. And so, Zach, as you look forward to the future, and you claim the promise that the Lord shall direct your paths, you'll experience it if you'll trust in the Lord with all your heart. Second one, lean not. And you say, well, Pastor, that's a negative. No, it isn't. That's a real positive. Lean not upon your own understanding. Now, Solomon is not saying here we ought to ignore, nor we ought to not use our understanding. He's not saying here to turn off your brain, ignore common sense. But he is saying, though we wisely use understanding, the understanding that is given to us, we're not wise to lean upon it only, to depend upon it entirely. You know, there are certain things that are good, and they're profitable, but they're not strong enough to lean upon. Now, I'll give you an illustration that probably doesn't fit at all, but I'll give it to you anyhow. Up in West Salem, we had a grapevine. And that grapevine was profitable. It gave us grapes. My wife made grape jelly. She made grape juice and so forth. You know, I'd never lean upon that vine. It would never hold me up. And the same way, we ought to use the understanding that God has given us. We ought to not turn our brain off. Use it. Use common sense. But don't lean upon it entirely. Lean not upon thine own understanding. A quote I saw, it just was credited to a Chicago teacher. Yeah, coming from Chicago, this isn't too bad. Our understandings are very useful, but the best of them are not sufficiently strong to lean upon. Our understandings are very useful, but the best of them are not sufficiently strong to lean upon. Charles Bridges, in his commentary, made this statement. Whenever in our trials we consult our own understandings, hearken to our self-reasonings, though they seem to be good and tend to our preservation, yet the principle of living by faith is stifled, and we shall in the issue be cast down by our own counsels. Job, chapter 18 and verse 7. The steps of his strength shall be straightened, and his own counsel shall cast him down. Lean not upon thine own understanding. As I look back over my own life, as I look about the times where there were failures in my life, when I look at the times when I had troubles in my life, I could connect it to the point that I was leaning upon my own understanding. I was seeking my own way. I was desiring my own will rather than trusting in the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Brother Jack, the Lord shall direct thy paths. If you'll trust in him, lean not on an understanding. And then Solomon gives us a third point. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge the Lord. I could simply put it this way, know God. Be aware of God. Have a fellowship with God. In every decision, in every circumstance you face, whether it is small and insignificant or of a life-changing significance, I trust that you and all of us will develop this habit of going first to the Lord, because it is through his word that we find, as the man, the psalmist says in Psalms 119 and verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. There's a path before you. And God's word, and the Lord through his word, will lighten that path and will direct your steps. As we said earlier, verses 5 and 6 are in the context of verses 1 and 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. In Psalms 119, in verse 24, thy word is a lamp, excuse me, I'm reading the wrong verse. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. The word of God is a counselor. And Brother Zach, and each one of us who are here today, as we go through life, as we face decisions, as we come to those whys in the road, as we come to those intersections, as we face differing circumstances, help us to realize that our understanding may be limited, but God's is not. And he has promised, I will direct thy path. Those times, let us follow the positives that Solomon has given us, to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not upon our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we are so thankful for Brother Zach. Thankful for his testimony. And Lord, as he goes forth from this place, we pray, God, that you truly would direct his path. Lead him on the path that you would have him to walk. I pray, God, that he would enter that path with his eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, I pray that same for myself. And God, you would help me to follow the path you would have me to walk. I would trust you with all my heart. I'd not lean upon my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge thee with the assurance that you shall direct my path. Direct, give guidance, and we'll give you the praise for it in Christ's name.